Good morning and welcome to Bowmansville this morning. I'm glad to see each one of you here today. May God's love and peace fill you as we worship Him this morning. Receive this call to worship from Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Before I pray, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes in a little bit, and I want you to give all your burdens over to God from this past week, or maybe some things you're facing from this next week. Just release everything to God so that you can come before Him and worship Him with all that you are. And this would include the people watching on the live stream as well. You can just join in. So I invite you to close your eyes, and I'll close the prayer in a little bit. So hand your burdens over to God. Heavenly Father, we come to you and hand over our burdens to you. We give you control to handle every situation that we face. Move in our hearts so that we can freely worship you, our Creator of the universe, Maker of heaven and earth. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, for giving us a way to be with you forever. We just thank you for your love and kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.
God made heaven and earth. Sometimes I think I take it for granted and forget how amazing that is. Especially if I spend a lot of time inside. None of us could even begin to make a tree, much less a forest or a cloud or a drop of water or a ladybug or a cherry or a pine needle. And the one who made all these things is truly amazing. And this is our Father's world.
This is my Father's world, and in my lives, He
Let's just give thanks for the offering. However, I think I failed to suggest that if you wanted to, you could bring it in the last song. So I'll give you that opportunity during the next song. In Christ alone, righteousness, you know, we all, a lot of us, many of us, most of us say, you know, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. But I believe daily we need to accept that gift of righteousness. You know, every time we are aware of our sin, we have an opportunity, we have a choice to either feel bad and discouraged or to accept that robe of righteousness.
Let us pray. Father, this morning we just come to you first and just thank you for your patience. After this morning's Sunday school, it's a great reminder of how much patience you have with all of us. And I just thank you for the gifts you give each one of us. And I just pray this morning that each one of us here knows what that special gift is that you give us. You've given each one of us an ability. And I just pray that we know what that ability is and we can use it for your glory in whatever way you want us. And I just pray that we can continually grow closer to you as a church, as a person, and as a community, that we can all come to know you more and more. And I just pray that we are filled with your Holy Spirit this morning. Just bring your Holy Spirit down on each one of us. Let us truly feel your presence, Father, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we sing the remaining of the songs.
Just to rest upon his word.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you're working in our lives and you're making things beautiful. And I just pray right now that we would hear all that truth that we need for this week, whatever you want to feed us through Anthony. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, it's time for a children's message, so I'd invite the children to come forward. I realize it is a holiday weekend, and there's a bunch of children away, but I know there's some here. So I need to put this down so I don't make a mess. So last Sunday, Pastor Larry brought a bucket, so I figured I'd bring a bucket as well. I'm not going to throw this on you. So what's in here? Some dirt. Well, we gotta add some water. Then we gotta stir it around a little bit. Make some nice, sloppy, gooey mud. Ooh, where? I'm making a mess. All right. Get rid of that. I have mud all over my hand. So this mud in this bucket, it represents sin. Sin that we have in our hearts because, well, our world is full of sin. And so we are covered in sin. So we'll just throw that guy in there. But you know what happens when we ask Jesus into our hearts? Any guesses? No? Maybe? They don't... Not really sure they want to answer. Well, this is what Jesus does. He makes us clean. So we're not covered in mud and goo anymore. He makes us clean. He makes us like a new person again. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess with our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means he takes us and he forgives us, and he makes us clean again. See, when we ask Jesus into our hearts, he changes us. Matthew 28 tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. So Jesus is telling us to go and tell people about himself so that others can come to him. But when we go, we're supposed to go back into the world, that sinful, mud-filled, gooey mess, and tell people about Jesus and not get dirty. How can we do that? We can put on the full armor of God that it talks about in Ephesians 6. And when we do that, this bag represents the full armor of God. See, when we're covered with the full armor of God, we can go back into this mud-filled, sin-filled world. And you know what? There's no mud on the guy. There's no sin and evil that has stuck to him because he's covered in the full armor of God. So I want you to remember that when we ask Jesus into our hearts, he cleanses us. And I also want you to remember to go tell people about Jesus. And also to remember to put on the full armor of God. So you guys have been good listeners. You may go back to your seats and you may have a snack, but I want to pray for you first before you go. So you close your eyes, so I can pray for you. Jesus, just thank you for these children. I pray that every day you would call them to you and draw them closer to you. Put a hedge of protection around them. And I just pray that they would go out and speak your name to the nations. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so you may have a snack and head back to your seats. And our snack wasn't very special this morning because it was a last-minute thing that we forgot about. And, well, we got something out of the pantry closet. So welcome again, and thank you for your prayers for my family and myself. We appreciate them very much. I titled this message, Living a New Life While Reaching Out into the World Around Us. Just like our children's message, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, He pulls us up out of the mud or sin, and He cleanses us, and He sends us back into that world full of sin and horrible things. He commands us to go and make disciples of all nations. We're sent back to speak the name of Jesus to others who are in the same place that we were in. Ephesians 4, 17 to 24. Therefore I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer live as Gentiles live, in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about Him and were taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on a new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity in truth. When we have Christ in our hearts, we are supposed to put off the old things that we did while we were covered in sin. We are to take off our old self and because we are made new, new like Christ, He changes us. And we are to put on a new self. We're created in the image of God. These things take work, they take effort, and they take action. One action is putting God's Word into our minds and our hearts. It purifies us. It changes us. We're doing all this work to put off our old self. Why would I want to go back and risk falling back into sin that I was in? Why would I want to go back into those places to reach out to other people? Because I don't want to fall and go back to where I was. That's a good question that each one of us has to answer for ourselves in prayer, and spending time in God's Word, listening to what He has, and how He wants you to speak to other people. So, each one of us is going to have to answer that question for ourselves. Mark 12, 28 to 31. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were arguing, and we'll pick it up right after that. One of the scribes approached. When he heard them debating and saw that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, "Which command is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Listen, O Israel, The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. Jesus tells us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then he tells us to love our neighbor as ourself. And Jesus was a perfect example of this. He showed love and compassion to people because he knew that they were lost. Many times in the Bible, Jesus went out of his way. He was hungry, he was hurting, and he still showed compassion to people. He gave them time. He gave them energy. He did this to save them. Jesus knew that he was going to die on the cross for each and every one of us, to take away our sins. He loved us with everything that he has. His love is perfect. Do we love our neighbor? Or do we label them a lost cause and let them die and spend eternity in hell because we are afraid to show love and compassion and speak the name of Jesus into their lives? When we have Jesus in our hearts, he changes us. We're not the same. We're made new. He changes the way we look at people. We don't see them as a sinner choosing to throw their life away. We see them as Jesus did, a lost sheep in need of a shepherd. And Jesus is the good shepherd. We do need to be careful that we don't fall into a trap that we may have been in before, or even a new one. We have to be careful. See, if you had an addiction and then you found Jesus and your life was transformed and you were drawn out of that, you're not the same person that you were. But going back to those places to help the people that were in the same addiction you were in is very dangerous. It's dangerous to go alone. So what we need to do is get other people to go with us. People that don't have the same issues that we have. In 1 Samuel 14, Jonathan and his armor bearer go to attack a Philistine garrison. And I'm going to paraphrase their conversation. Jonathan says, "Let's go fight the Philistines." And the armor bearer says, "Do what you think is best. I am with you. I have your back." They went and fought, and Jonathan's back was protected by his armor bearer. He had help. He had support. He had someone to go with him. And God went ahead of them, and they had a great victory that day. This is what we need to be doing. We need to reach out to people, and we need to have someone there to watch our back. They need to be there to help us, keep us from slipping back into a life that we do not want to be in. We, as brothers and sisters of Christ, need to have each other's backs. We need to reach out for help and say, "I need help," not just do it ourselves. We need to reach out and ask for help too. There's a picture of a new car. It has all this fancy technology with blind spot warning system. When people help us, we can have this blind spot warning system in us. When you have a blind spot, there's an area where you just can't see something. Even though you're looking for it, you just can't see it. We need others to be there to watch our back and help us see what's in our blind spot. We have to listen to them when they tell us, "Hey, you need to step away from this situation." And very important, we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and His leading. When those warning lights and sirens go off, we need to react and protect ourselves from danger. Just like Joseph did when Potiphar's wife made unwanted advances towards him, what did he do? He ran. He left the building. So why else would you go back to help others? Go back and help people get free from the sin that is trapping them. You have walked down the same path that they have. You are the best person to show them that there is hope. Just like a hiking guide leading people, we can lead people down a path to Jesus. And God calls us to go and do that because we're the best people to do that. Because we were living in sin before God called us out of it. And we accepted Christ as our Savior. Here's another example. If I try to comfort you and show you empathy and compassion if you lost a loved one, and I myself have not experienced a loss, I don't reach you on the same level. The connection is different. But if I have experienced loss and I show you compassion and empathy, and you know I've walked down this path before, wow, what a connection can you make? And you can speak into their hearts, into their lives, because you have been there. My compassion and my empathy are real and heartfelt. And you know it. You can see it, you can sense it. And the same thing applies to each one of us when we reach out to others who are lost and away from Christ. They know that we're real. They know that we've walked this path before. They can see that there's hope and that we know what we're talking about. And we also can see through those lies and the deceit that are thrown at us because we've been there. Now, on the other side of the same coin, we need to know our weaknesses, areas that we're weak. We may need to walk alongside of someone, maybe from an arm's length, and not right next to them because I have my own weaknesses. We may need to get someone else involved who's more mature Christian than we are, or someone who is farther away from the lifestyle that they're living, because we do not want to fall back into what we were pulled out of. Maybe another reason that we can't reach out is that we feel ill-equipped. See, we've been given the Holy Spirit. He is in us when we accept Christ as our Savior. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the power of God in us, and we have that full armor of God at our disposal. There's nothing better if we choose to put it on. God is waiting to empower us. We need to take that first step. You can have great intentions and you want to go reach people in your community, but until you take that first step and you go and you talk to someone, then you will be empowered. You have to take that step of faith. So we do not have any excuses not to share the love of Jesus. We will have an eternity to worship and bow down before God in heaven. But now is the time when we as the church need to rise up and go. We need to reach people. There's communities of people around us who are lost and hurting and need to hear the message of Christ, and we need to go and speak it. Matthew 24, 44. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We need to be ready for the return of our King, Jesus. And time is getting short. There is a day coming when Jesus the Christ is coming back to conquer and reign as a king. And we as Christ followers need to be reaching out to our co-workers, our classmates, our friends, our family, people that we play sports with, people that we interact anywhere. We need to show them the love of Jesus and take it one step farther. Speak the name of Jesus to them. Not just show them the love of Jesus. We need to speak the name of Jesus to them and tell him tell them who he is. Jesus was bold when he went out to minister with people, but yet he showed compassion. The woman at the well in John 4, Jesus tells her that she is living in sin and that Jesus is the way to forgiveness and eternal life. In John 8, the woman was brought before Jesus caught in the act of committing adultery. They were trying to trap Jesus. But Jesus tells them, "You who are without sin, cast the first stone." Then he starts writing in the dirt. Everyone disperses and leaves. And Jesus tells the woman, "I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more." In John 5, Jesus heals a disabled man at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus tells the man, after healing him, "Go and sin no more." Jesus went to the people and shared who he was and that they were living in sin. See, this was out of love for them. We face people every day that are away from God, living in sin, facing an eternity in hell. We need to be careful that we don't get drawn into their sin, but this is not an excuse to keep us from witnessing to people. This is just a cautionary warning to be alert and on guard and put on the full armor of God. We have no excuses not to share how Jesus changed our lives. There's no better story than to say, "God has changed me in this way. I used to be like this, and he changed me. He made me new." How he changed our hearts, and that we have hope for eternity. There's one more warning I'm going to give you. When you go out into the world to share about Jesus, we cannot, let me repeat, cannot compromise our faith and the Word of God. We have to stand firm on that. See, Jesus did not compromise for anyone. Yes, some people hated him. And it says that we will be hated because they hated him first. But other people loved him and accepted him as their Lord and Savior. Jesus was blunt in how he said things, yet he did not compromise. He did everything out of love for those lost sheep that were aimlessly wandering around this life. When we go throughout our day, know that we are made new through faith in Jesus. Look at everyone around us with the eyes of Jesus. They are lost, and they need a Savior. Don't focus on this. They're a sinner, and I'm glad I'm not like them. Just remember, we were in the same place that they were. Someone told us about Jesus. We needed a Savior just as much as they do. So put on the form of God each day to protect yourselves and share the gospel with those around you. Look at them as lost sheep. Look at them as sheep wandering aimlessly without a shepherd. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and kindness that you have shown to us before we knew who you were. Thank you for pulling us out of this world. As you call us to go out in this sin-filled world, put a hedge of protection around us. Give us a boldness to stand and not compromise. Help us to bring many sheep into your fold. Help us to see the people around us as lost and not dirty sinners. Just help us to see them through your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.
A number of months ago, I shared with you a bit on our ideas for the celebration coming up next winter. You know, today here, you are part of a story that has gone on now for 99 years, 5 months, and a couple of weeks. Next January, it'll be 100 years that we are worshiping in this building. My first 12 plus years in this building, I was facing the same way as I am now, only I was sitting down. The pulpit was at that end. So people that are my age and older well remember that. Things have changed, things have progressed. The story is ever going. And I'm making a book. Putting together a book, and you say, well, now what's this guy putting together here? Well, I brought two along that we did of Alsace, and I have two of them here, my own copy and the one that's in the library. I'll let them up here, and you can page through and see what they will look like. However, it won't be of this design. This is what they call a coffee table style book. It will be looking more like this shape so that it will fit in your bookshelves just a little bit better. And there will be pictures like the backyard bash just from last week. That's the most recent that'll be in there. If you give me some pictures, even from today on, of your activities, then it'll be more recent. We have pictures that'll be in this book that are over 100 years old. There is a picture of the church building that was here prior to this building. When that picture was taken, I do not know, but it's certainly over 100 years old. So what do I need? I need youth group photos, work projects, social activities, your Bible study, recent Valentine banquets. I got a box of pictures and information that Helen's sister Nancy Zimmerman kept. So I have youth activities and all kinds of pictures from the 60s and into the 70s, but I need recent pictures. I need Sunday school pictures, class pictures, activities. I have a few, but I need more. I need Bible school pictures of the last 20 years. I have some from early parts of Bible school. Bible school, was that for a long time? No, Bible school only started here during the week as we have Bible school, and you remember Bible school, 1948 or 49 was the first that Bible school came into being. I need pictures of sewing circle, ladies' activities. I have a few. I need pictures of the before and after school program. I have nothing from that. If those who are in charge of that would have some. A bit of history, when that started, and why and how. I need pictures of those of you who were in 1W. Interesting, I mentioned 1W in the other announcement, and I had a mother come to me and said, her kids leaned over and said, "Mom, what's 1W? I don't know. That is the, yeah, what's the word I want? The what the government put you in if you were conscientious objector in going to war in the draft. That was the category you were in. Voluntary service. I need pictures of those that you were in voluntary service, or the youth evangelism program, the YES program, and more recently, YWAM. I need pictures of missionaries from this district. I have a few, but I need more over the years, and maybe information of where they went and what years. I need some pictures from the Flowing Waters ministry, if you have some. I have nothing of that ministry. Also, when TNT was going on here in kids' clubs, I'd like to have some pictures, if I can, of that, and some information to go along with the pictures. I have together right now 40-some pages. I have a goal of getting somewhere between 75 to 100. So I have pictures of quizzing. I have pictures of Voices of Victory, of Lake in the Wood programs. I have a history of the Bowmansville District, its early beginnings prior to this building here, and its outreach into Reading and how that happened. And I do have the early pictures of Mennonite, Youth Fellowship, Young People's Meeting programs, and the Christian Worker Band. So I don't really need any more of that. But if you are in this list of what I mentioned, I could use. Dig into your photo albums. I've seen a lot of video of the youth programs. I can't use videos. I need pictures, photos. And we'll put this together, and we'll come up with a book that's going to look like this, that you can have as part of the 100th year celebration of worshiping in this building. I'll leave these two books up here, and you can page through and just get an idea what it might look like. Thank you.
Thank you, Gene, for all your hard work in getting that together. I appreciate it very much. I do want to call your attention to a note in the bulletin that Dwayne Weaver has been affirmed for another term as administrative deacon. And I do have a praise item. God has blessed Brent and Donna with two grandchildren this past week. Tuesday, Tim and Janelle had a son, Corbin Maverick. And Saturday, Dan and Katie had a daughter, Sadie Joy. So you can go and approach Donna and Brent and other family members and get the details, because I don't have all the details, how much they weighed and how long they were and what color their eyes are. You know, the important stuff you have to have when you get a note. So you can go and approach them about that. So will you stand for the parting benediction? For I am persuaded that not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth, or any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go in the power of Jesus. You are dismissed. God bless you. Go in peace.